In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The small catechism, have you ever heard of that? Does it sound familiar? I hope so. The small catechism sheds light upon today's gospel reading. Because in the explanation to the first article of the Creed, Luther writes that God, the God who has made me and all creatures, the God who has given me my body and soul, eyes and members, my ears, eyes, my reason, all my senses, also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink. These things come from the hand of a gracious, loving God. There we go. In the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we read this: God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers, even to all evil people, but we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And then in the catechism we have this question: what is meant by daily bread? What does it include? Daily bread includes everything. Everything that has to do with the support and the needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, etc., etc. Again, it is emphasized to us that the Lord God graciously gives us daily bread, even though we are not deserving of any of this. He gives all these things to us out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy. And we see that displayed in a remarkable way in today's gospel reading. As you know from a couple of Sundays ago, Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples, telling them to teach and preach and to cast out demons and to heal. And they went out and they come back to Jesus, and they're in a state of excitement because the marvelous things they've seen, and maybe they're even a little bit proud because of the marvelous things that the Lord God has worked through them. Well, Jesus knows that they need a break, a very intense period of ministry, and they put on a lot of mileage on those sandals of theirs. So he says, well, come away by yourselves to a desolate place, a lonely place, and take some time off, rest for a while. Because things hadn't slowed down any. Many were coming and going, wanting to see Jesus, wanting to hear him preach, wanting to be healed by him. Maybe a family member had a demon that they wanted him to cast out. And Jesus and his disciples no longer had any leisure even to take time to eat. So Jesus told the disciples to get in a boat, and they sailed across the Sea of Galilee to a lonely place by themselves. Ah, peace and quiet. Time away from all the hustle and bustle of ministry. Time off to relax, to let my mind go blank for a while, to rejuvenate my body and my spirit. But the problem is, the people knew that where they were going, and they ran around to the other side of the lake, trying to get there ahead of Jesus. And I'm sure as they went, they told others who saw the rush, where are you going? Why? We're going to see Jesus. We're going to listen to him. We're going to have our sick healed, have the lame made to walk and the blind to see. So I'm sure a bigger crowd gathered along the way. And by the time Jesus and his disciples got to shore, there was a crowd of over 5,000. I mean, only the men were numbered, so you can be assured that there were women and children beside. This could have been a crowd of 10 or 15,000 people. Jesus steps out of the boat onto the shore. He sees this great crowd. He says, "Oh my goodness, I need some time off. Why, Lord?" Not at all. When he saw them, he had great compassion on them. Mega compassion. He could feel their sufferings. He knew their needs. And even though he was pressed for time and being true man, he was weary and exhausted. He wanted to meet those needs because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Imagine gathering about 5,000 toddlers and putting them out in a field by themselves without any supervision, without any fencing around it, without anything to protect them or keep them within the confines of the field. Go away for several hours and then come back. Where would those toddlers be? All over Conover and Newton. Some of them would probably have been killed or badly injured. They would have gone astray because there was no one looking after them. That's what Jesus saw this crowd as being. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed a shepherd to guide them, as the Old Testament lesson said, and God had provided them with a shepherd, and his name was Jesus. And he was faithful to this crowd. He is faithful to you, even though at times we are unfaithful to him, even though at times we go astray. Well, that's what a shepherd does. He gathers the flock back in to himself so he can care for them, so he can defend them from all harm and danger, not merely to their bodies, but also to their souls. Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what is the first thing he did? He began to teach them many things. He who is the Word of God made flesh began to proclaim to them the Word of God. And they were listening eagerly. They took in what he had to say. And the day passed, the hours passed, the sun was getting down low to the western horizon. It was late, and the crowd was still there listening eagerly to everything Jesus had to say. As I hope you listen eagerly when the Word of God is proclaimed to you, and the gospel is being read, and even the words of institution are being spoken, because it's Christ's word to you. So the disciples finally said, it's getting late. The sun is going down. We don't have enough food to feed these people, and we're out in a desolate place. There's nothing around here to supply food for the people. There's not a McDonald's. There's not a Pizza Hut. There's not a Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's not an Applebee's. There's not a Chili's. There isn't even a Five Guys. So, Jesus, send them out into the surrounding countryside and villages so they can buy themselves something to eat. And here's where Jesus turned the tables on the disciples. He said, "You give them something to eat." Us? You want us to give them something to eat? We can't feed this multitude. even 200 days worth of salary couldn't buy enough food to feed these people. So how do you expect us to do this? It was humanly impossible, wasn't it? There is nothing around, nothing to be fed. These people, in their eagerness to hear Jesus, hadn't even packed up a bag of provisions for themselves. So Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Now, the loaves there, the Greek word for loaves, is not a, you know, big loaf of bread. It's like a barley loaf, something like a dinner roll. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. So they went and they searched and they found out. And they said, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Why? It would be lucky if 1,000 people got even a morsel of this scant provision that they had. But Jesus commanded them all, the multitude, to sit down in groups on the green grass. The fact that the grass is green tells us that it's near Passover. And then look at what Jesus did next. And know that this is not anything that a mere human being could accomplish. Now, indeed, Jesus was true man because he had hands and feet. He had all the parts of the body that we heard described in the Small Catechism. But Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven and said a blessing, said thanks. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all in the same way. Listen to the verbs here. Take, bless, broke, give. Does that remind you of anything? On the night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." The hands that broke the bread, that divided the fish, that gave these elements, if you will, to the disciples, were the hands that would be pierced through with nails when he was crucified for you for the sin of all the world. This body of Jesus that took in oxygen as we do. This body of Jesus through which blood flowed to nourish all the cells. This body of Jesus that was caring for the people's needs would care for the people's needs in even a greater way. Because Jesus is the Good Shepherd, John tells us. He lays down his life for the sheep, for you and for me who had gone astray. He lays down his life on the cross, taking into himself the sins of all the world. He who fed the multitude had heaped upon him every sin ever committed, every sin you have ever committed. He gives good things, and he takes away our bad things. And he bestows on us complete forgiveness of all of our sins. For he is our good shepherd who lays down his life for the world. And who will and who has taken up that life again in the resurrection? Jesus distributes the good things of the gospel through the disciples. And in the ministry of the called and ordained servants of the word, Jesus still continues to distribute the good things of the gospel through preaching, through teaching, and the climax of our divine service through the meal, the sacred meal of the Lord's Supper. You see, the pattern laid out for us in today's gospel reading is teaching and then food time. Preaching and then meal. Proclaiming the gospel and then comes the banquet. Isn't that what we do here on Sunday morning? Jesus teaches and preaches here. And then he feeds us with the rich bounty of his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. He has compassion on us who were once like sheep without a shepherd, but now we have a shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus could do this, feed the multitude with the scanty provisions of 5 loaves and 2 fish, indicates there is something going on here that is beyond human imagining. And that something going on here is that this man, Jesus Christ, is also true God, the second person of the Godhead, whom God has sent to be the one faithful and true shepherd of all people. He gathers us together around his word and his sacrament. And we eat, and we are satisfied, just as the crowd ate and was satisfied. How satisfied was the crowd? Well, they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish after the meal. There was enough for everybody, and then some. And so it is with the gospel. There's enough for everybody. Everybody in the whole world. For Jesus is, as you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel overflows. The gospel is a great tsunami of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness pouring out from the wounds of Christ. And we share the gospel with others, because otherwise, what would we do with these 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and of fish? These 12 baskets weren't wasted. I'm sure they were distributed to the people to take home on their journey, or to people who may not have been present there for the feeding but have wandered in afterwards. How about us? How about us, to whom God has given so many good gifts and earthly food, all that pertains to the support and need of the body? We have an abundance. God has given us abundantly. Should we share that with others as they have need? Well, the pattern there is that of the Good Shepherd who has compassion on us and who went to the cross to die for us and was raised again for us. This was to cover and take away all of your sin. There is not the single tiniest sin left to those who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection and who believe in him. Who don't believe they're saved by their works, because these people weren't fed by their own works, but are saved purely by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He has compassion on us. Let us also have compassion upon one another, as we have received compassion. Let us distribute that compassion here in this church, where the gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments distributed, and in our daily lives in all the world. For we have a shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. And we rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.